to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program, everyone. James Edwards here with you from our flagship radio studio, AM 1380 WLRM in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. We're also, of course, broadcasting tonight to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. As you may remember, earlier in the week, last week I guess it was, we put up a poll on our website that asked the audience what guest they'd most like to hear from in 2011. And the only rules were it had to be a guest that previously had appeared on our program. Now, that narrows it down to, about 500 people. And out of those 500 people, one name kept coming back over and over and over again. It was the name of a good friend of mine, a very renowned author, and a former member of the Louisiana House of Representatives, the one and only David Duke's name at the top of the Political Cesspool fan poll, and we've got him here with us now. David, welcome back to the show.
Well, I'm so glad to be back here. I think that you're doing great work, James, and I love your program. And just keep it up. I think you're just really informing a lot of people, and I believe that we are riding a wave right now. We're helping to create that wave of European and American awareness and awakening that's sweeping not only our nation and Canada and Europe, but everywhere our people live, whether it be Australia or New Zealand. A lot of my videos have been getting number one viewed in news and politics, which is a very important category of YouTube. Number one viewed in like the nation of Australia and Sweden and Czech Republic and other nations. So we're really making a tremendous amount of input and progress, and I think that the world is going to change very, very rapidly. We have the means to do it now with the Internet.
Well, David, certainly talking about your success on YouTube is one of the things I'm going to be sure to bring up in this short time that we have together today. I want to thank you for the kind words that you've said. We've certainly been able to have a lot of success on this program. And a lot of it is due to you and the success that you've had over the years building upon a great foundation that's been established by the other leaders that are out there. Now, as you'll remember, you came through Memphis earlier this year, back in August or September, I think it was, and we had a VIP reception for you. Some of the listeners here in the local area, a great number of them, in fact, were able to have a steak dinner with you. But for the benefit of those who were not able to be there that night, I'd like to ask you to recap the year that was for you, and what can people expect from David Duke in the year to come?
Well, it's hard to really encapsulate the entire year because so much has happened. Of course, I've continued. I've given probably, 100 different lectures all over the United States and all over Europe and elsewhere, and I've also, of course, launched this video program. And if you remember, in fact, I talked to you about it personally back about a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, in December of 2009, that I believe that video documentaries and video programming was the way to go to convince people, because it's a tremendously powerful medium. You can sit right, it's like you're sitting right across the kitchen table from someone. They can look in your eyes. You can talk to them about these issues. You can show them documents. You can make direct quotes. You can show them videos of people saying things. And you have the ability to truly convince people, because the truth becomes very obvious. People might try to interpret that truth a different way, but you have a tremendous opportunity. And I believe this was going to be the way to do it. So as I do everything in my life, I decide something. I decide a course of action that I think will help our people. And then I tried to accommodate my life to that vision. I started studying how to make videos, how to edit videos. I learned that art. It took me a while to do so. And over the year, I started a channel. I had, with 50 videos, were produced almost a video a week during that time. And many of these videos have hundreds of edits in them, as many edits as you'd have in a regular feature-length film. And on the one channel I have, we had 2.5 million views. Right now, the channel is down, by the way. Again, the eternal enemy is always trying. Our videos are so successful at trying to suppress them, but it's got to the point now where they can't suppress them. If someone, one of your listeners, goes to Google, and then along the very top of Google you go to where they have web, images, videos, maps, so forth, you click on videos, and you'll take David Duke and put that in quotation marks to make it one term, David Duke, you'll now find 3,060 videos. And
wow.
Of those, about 2,600 videos are videos that people independently made of my speeches, my lectures, my TV programs, my debates, and reproductions of my own videos on these critical subjects. Now, this was just done just out of whole cloth. These people just took it on their own to take this information, like radio broadcasts, like programs that I did with you. Many of those are now on video.
Yeah, I've seen those, yes, yes.
Yeah, and so that's, you know, 2,000, imagine now, 2,700 videos of my work all across the internet, and some of those videos have hundreds of thousands of views, some of them just have a handful of views. One of our supporters went in and tried to add them up, and it took them many hours to try to add up the views to get a general idea. He added up half to get an idea, then extrapolated it. That itself took him about 5 hours, I think. And he came up with the approximately, at the time, about 30 million views of these powerful videos. And
wow.
Of those 30 million views, he was finding, he made another check a week later, and his estimate was that we were adding over 1 million views a week of these videos. Now, think about that, 1 million views a week, and that the rate was increasing. So that should, I hope, and I hope we start this year off with a lot of optimism, because I'm very pessimistic about the country. Obviously, our country is going down. I mean, the immigration continues. It doesn't seem like a day passes when I don't see another terrible defilement of our people, or a terrible crime against our people, or a crime against our heritage, our values, our culture, everything that's dear to all of us, and dear to the safety of our own children and to our futures. I mean, the way things are going in America and Europe is that unless things change, our kids are going to walk as strangers in their own land. There's many parts of America right now where, you know, where an adult can't walk, more or less. You wouldn't ever allow, a good parent would never allow their children to go there by themselves. Places where kids could go unmolested and by themselves 20, 30 years ago. And and you can even see this in the old movies where kids go across town themselves and walk around town without even adult supervision. Kids that are 7 years old, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 years old. And in fact, when I was 7 or 8 years old, we could do that.
All right, let's take a break.
Let's take a break. School.
Right there, we got to take a break and go to a word from our sponsors. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. More with the one and only David Duke forthcoming tonight, exclusively on the Political Cesspool Radio Program. We are the voice of the American right, and we bring you the leaders of the American right each and every Saturday night. Stay tuned.
Political Cesspool guys, we'll be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, wanted to continue on now with my talk with the one and only David Duke, all new tonight for you here in the political cesspool. David, continue.
And grind to halt. Business, grind to halt the major cities demanding that we have government and media that acts in the interest of our people and our heritage. I also see people creating their own media, like your like your radio program and more television programs. Soon we're going to have our own television networks, our own news networks over the internet, our own dramas, our own movies. We already have our own genre of music being produced. We have communities basically being formed, and I think this is going to accelerate, And I think we're going to have a great outlook for the next year. And I think we're going to have a tremendous awakening of our people. So overall, I'm optimistic for the awakening of our people. I'm pessimistic. I know society is going to go a lot further down. But as our society goes down, the awakening and the determination and the realization from our people that this we're at the absolute crux of our existence as a people and our freedom as a people, as this awareness increases, we've got the chance to turn everything around.
Well, David, you know, we put it up on the website ourselves. The new year traditionally is a time for hope, for renewed spirit and vigor. And you've certainly given us here many reasons to take hope as we head into a new year that is still to be charted. And I want to double back very quickly. I know we're running out of time here, but the success of your videos really can't be discounted. You're talking about millions, tens of millions even, of views, and that's something that we were talking about off air just a moment ago. I truly believe, and I say it a lot, that the ideas that you espouse, the ideas that we advance here on this radio program are still fundamentally accepted by the vast majority of European Americans in this country. These are ideas that they are safeguarding in their hearts, and if you scratch just below the surface, certainly they've been cowed. Certainly our people have been silenced for whatever reason, but that is not to say that these issues are not still near and dear to their hearts. And these are, you know, messages of health and love and beauty, and I think that our people can, we still have the numbers and we certainly have the talents to turn things around. And I think that all of these things that are happening behind the scenes, below the radar, the hits you're getting on your videos, the success of this program, and many other examples, too numerous to count, certainly indicate that this battle is far from lost. One more question for you before you go. I know you're getting ready to take
another. Let me make one
more
comment about that before you go into the next one. This is something people should understand. You know, a lot of people in the movement are naysayers. And they're defeatists. And we also have a lot of people who are into the conspiracy angle of it, and whereas they think everything's a conspiracy and everything is totally controlled and nobody has any chance politically because the voting machines are controlled and the media is controlled and they're going to kill you and they're going to put you in FEMA camps and all that kind of stuff. And this kind of propaganda is actually damaging to our people. Because the truth is, we have a lot of opportunity. And you look at these videos. This is a perfect example. Now, here's YouTube. These videos go into the charts. They're watched by millions of people who are not in the movement, right? And they're rated by people, new people, who see these videos. You know, only a tiny fraction of 30 or 40 million views, like over all the internet, are really our people and our movement. But every video that was on my YouTube channel was rated over 90% favorably by our people. And you can be sure the people against us really made sure they came in and did something against us. And that should tell everyone listening that the views that we have, and again, I tell the whole truth, as you know, I talk about that eternal enemy, you know, the Jewish extremists that dominate our media, our culture, our government. I talk about, you know, racial realities and the danger to our heritage and our culture and our very existence as a people on this continent and elsewhere. And those ratings of 90% more in every video that I do shows that people, once they hear this message, that they really agree. Now, I think a lot of our people need to learn how to express the message effectively. You do it very well. But a lot of people don't. A lot of people kind of express our message in kind of the caricature the Hollywood media produces of one of our patriots, like a hateful person or an uneducated person or a person who's trying to suppress others or whatever, the so-called white supremacist or, you know, the white racist and the racist in the most negative of creations, as someone who simply hates others and is disagreeable and tough and radical and so forth. I present all these ideas, but I do it, I think, in a way that expresses love and kindness and beauty and the motivation for our people that's in these ways, not in a negative way. And I think my videos can also help people learn how to make these expressions themselves and to teach us that not only are the ideas important that we're representing here, but the way we present them is absolutely vital. And the media is trying to pigeonhole us, to put us in a kind of a category to make us fit their stereotypes. They've spent you know, billions of dollars in media to try to create these stereotypes and certain key words that they use to get an emotional response from people against us. And our people have to learn the methods of persuasion and learn how to let them see our true hearts and our true soul and our true spirit rather than how the media portrays us. But so those people who are the naysayers and say that all the people are brainwashed and nobody has any support, these videos prove that because they're able to be rated by the viewers, and we get over a 90% positive ratings. Many videos are 95, 96% positive. You can't do much better than that. And,
Well, what you said there really needs to be highlighted, and it's a great point. Excuse me. Because you're talking about, obviously, millions and millions of people here that are viewing these things with a favorable disposition, and they're letting that be known. And you can't go in there and like the same video over and over and over again. It's not like me and you are going in here and, right. and clicking these things millions of times. These are real people.
You're allowed
people,
one rating.
People.
You're allowed one rating
That's right.
for each video.
And I've made this point, you know, and it's not just your videos, although this is a great example. If you go to any story on any news website, any newspaper website, any website at all that's dealing with a story that carries an angle that we would find congruent with what we're talking about here, in the comment boxes, we rule the comment boxes. Whether it's on YouTube or on a newspaper's website or wherever a story with a racial animus is being discussed, you read the comments from the people, not the writer, him or herself, of course, but the comments from the people who are reading it are almost always favorable to all we're thinking. So this is what I'm talking about. I really believe that if we can just somehow get these people to become more active rather than just being demonstrative on the internet, then there could be a great awakening in short order. But David, my last question for you is, you've had certain success at the ballot box before, and there have been some rumblings and some excitement on the internet that there might be a future race in your future. Is this a possibility?
Well, you know, I entertained the idea of running for president. I said very clearly in the video I did on it that I've not, you know, made a final decision by any means, and that the response I get will determine whether I run or not in the primaries. I don't want to run just to run. That's not the purpose. I would run to win. I'd run to carry some states, carry some delegates, and I think it may be possible to do that. But that's going to be determined. It was still too early to determine that yet. That's something that we should know a lot more about by the middle of this year. Of course, the election's the following year. And then a decision could be made. We're doing so much with these videos and so many other things in the world. Whatever we do, I want to continue these videos. And,
hey, David, I need to interrupt you right there. Just for a second, we're going to come back to David Duke and hear more about his videos after he just answered whether or not he may or may not be running for president. It depends on your support, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see what David has to say as we conclude this interview on the other side. Right after these words from our sponsors, you're listening to The Political Cesspool as we interview our first guest of the year, David Duke, right here. And I'm James Edwards, and I'll be back with you right after this.
Cesspool guys, we'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out of this
place. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Last half hour of tonight's broadcast, the first show of 2011. And as you know, we let the guest... Hang on a minute. We let the fans pick the guest. Yes, that's right. We let the fans pick the guest. The first guest they wanted to hear from this year, the winner of the popular poll was David Duke, and we have him on the show tonight. Right now, in fact, and just before that last commercial break, he was going back to talk about his vision for his videos and his work as it continues on into the new year, as ours does as well. So, David, back to you.
I want to continue these videos, and If I don't think that we have a real chance to win or make a tremendous the impact that we want to make with a race for president, starting with the Republican primaries, if I don't think we can do that, then I'm going to go doing what we're doing, because right now we are changing the world with these videos and the lectures and the talks that I'm doing around the world. And before we close, I do want to just go over, because you always have new listeners here, and all they've heard about is how good we're doing and how people agree with us. Let's talk for a second about what our principles are and what's going on here. You know, what we're talking about, you know, it's, I'm going to give one story. Maybe that'll sum it up pretty well for a lot of the listeners. It's so important that our people realize and get over to our friends, get over to our friends that our position is moral. Our position is truly one of human rights, human dignity, civil rights, every great principle of humanity. It's the opposition that's trying to destroy human rights. And I'll give an example. Europe's got an incredible immigration problem, obviously, from North Africa, almost all Muslim immigration. And, of course, I have been very much opposed to Israel, which I think is not only occupying Palestine, but is also occupying Washington, D.C., and London, and Paris, and getting involved in these, getting us in these terrible wars. We don't need our soldiers over in Afghanistan or in Iraq. We need them on the Mexican-American border, obviously. But, you know, so I've been a friend of theirs in a sense that I have really been opposed to their American policy, and I also don't believe America should control their way of life. If they want to be Muslim, they have the right to run their own affairs and have their own religion and their own countries, but we also must have the same right. And I was invited to speak in a nation there, and I spoke before the leading university in the country, and 1,000 people there. And, you know, I always tell the whole truth, and sometimes it gets me in trouble. Sometimes I get a good response from it. And in this case, I talked about, obviously, the Zionist problem. And then I said to them, I said, I want to make something clear to you. I am a European Christian, as you are, you know, a non-European Muslim. And, you know, I am opposed to the massive non-European immigrations coming into Europe and the similar kinds of immigration coming into America. And I said, I want to give you an understanding why this is. I said, let's suppose that in your particular Islamic country that millions of Europeans were moving in of a different religion or even non-religious, and there were becoming so many of them that they were changing your culture, changing your language, changing your songs, changing your values, removing your symbols, you know, and so many of them were coming in. In fact, their birth rate of these Europeans was 2 to 3 times that of yours. You were having a low birth rate, trying to make sure your country's not overpopulated and you have the freedom of not this terrible strain on your resources. But these Europeans that were coming in were, you know, overpopulating. They were having mass numbers of kids. And eventually, your children would be to the point where your people of your religion, your heritage, your faith, your traditions would be a tiny minority in their own country. They'd be like strangers in their own country and eventually become extinguished in this tidal wave of European immigration. So I asked him, I said, is there one person, is there one of you in this audience that think this scenario, massive European immigration into your country or any Muslim country, do you think that would be a good thing? Would any of you support it? And not a single person rose their hand. I ask them again, is there just even one of you that thinks this would be good for your country? And not one hand came up out of 2,000 hands in that audience. And this to me says more than anything. And by the way, I'll tell you something. I give people a lot of credit because people can see the truth. Whether they're, you know, whether it's one thing, Europeans have a great history. We got great talents. But, you know, people can see the truth whether they're European or African or whether they're Asian or whatever. You know, people have an innate ability to see the truth. And after I said this, I was really kind of surprised in the way they started clapping for me, and it grew and grew, and they ended up standing up and gave me a standing ovation simply because I stood up and defended my own people, and they saw the truth of what I was saying. So if this is true, if they can see this truth, then certainly our own people must be able to see this truth. This is the reality of immigration, both in the United States with mainly Mexican and other third world immigration. It's the reality of immigration in Europe. And we have a moral right to defend ourselves. Like I say on every one of my shows, every people on earth has a right to preserve their heritage, their nationality, their values, their religion, their culture, and their independence and freedom. America was built on independence, and that's what we represent. And if all of our listeners, the listeners right now, all you who are hearing these words, who are concerned about your future and that of your children and the health and wonder of this country, if you're able to present these ideas in that way, with that kind of humanity and that kind of concern for human rights, you know, there's going to hardly be anybody, I don't care, left, right, white, black, who are going to sit there and say, you know, you're wrong or this is evil or whatever. So it's so important for us to present ourselves, and it's so important that the people out there realize that we are in a life and death struggle right now for our people and our survival, not just even our culture and our faith and our values. We're literally struggling for the right of our people to exist as they are physically, with our traits, with our skin and hair and eyes and form and the beautiful aesthetics of our people. And we're in a struggle for existence. And that's what I want to leave your audience with and have them have a renewed dedication to our people in this year, and a renewed dedication to also learning how to express ourselves to their fellow Europeans. You know, Europeans, the one last thing, I know we're probably going over time again, but Europeans are amazing people. We've been willing to even sacrifice our lives for principles. You know how many people were burned at the stake for religious reasons over the years, or because they represented a scientific reason or a political reason, or hung or suffered death for a principle? And, you know, our people will literally sacrifice themselves for principle if they think the principle is right or just. And they've got our people, many of our people, sacrificing their life and the life of our people, really, our existence, for this principle. Well, what we've got to do is show them the principle that extinguishing themselves and their family and their heritage is an evil thing, not a good thing. And that's the only way that we can stop this death rattle among our people, to make our people understand, move their heart and their spirit and their mind to see that what we represent is good and just, not only for the European people, but for every people on earth. It's normal, natural, healthy, nature-given, and God-given. That's about it, my friend, and I hope everybody goes to the new year with the new dedication. Please contact me at davidduke.com. Send me an email. Support our work if you can, and support the great work of this program and James Edwards, because he's doing a fantastic job for you and getting out your truth. He speaks for you, as I hope you see that I do too.
An ironclad closing argument from David Duke, our first guest of 2011. David, thank you so much, my friend, and we will certainly be in touch with you as the year progresses and the victories are won.
We have a lot of victories ahead of us. We have a lot of trials ahead of us, but we're going to go forward, and our people will win the fight ahead of us if we just have the dedication and the courage and the stick-to-itiveness to just keep fighting and keep learning and doing everything on earth to save our people. Thanks so much, man.
That was David Duke, everyone, calling in tonight from Europe. Burning the midnight oil to be with us tonight, to be our first guest of the new year, and to accept the honor that was bestowed upon him. Remember, we opened up tonight's show to the fans for their decision. We had a simple rule. All you had to do was vote for the person you'd most like to see interviewed on tonight's show, the person you'd most like to see be our first guest of the new year. The only stipulation was it had to be someone who had previously appeared on our show over the course of the last 6 years. David Duke won, and so there he was tonight serving as our first guest of the new year. But let me tell you what, we went much further than just booking up the first guest of the year with David Duke, and what an incredible interview tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Did y'all enjoy that or what? I'm here in the Council of Conservative chat room at cfcc.org, the Political Cesspool Online fan party. They're loving the show tonight. We've got shows like this planned for you all year. We even have our guest list fully rounded out and confirmed all the way through February 5th, so be sure to check back. But we got one more segment tonight, and Winston Smith, my co-host, will be joining me to help navigate us through the murky waters of the political cesspool right after this.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place.
a better life for me.
If I didn't tell him, I didn't. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. What have we done tonight? Well, we had a great first hour, as we always do, with co-host Keith Alexander. Second hour, we reviewed the top 10 moments in the political cesspool's year that was with Bill Rowland before moving on to some predictions for this year. And then, of course, this hour, you just heard from David Duke, our first guest of the new year. And now, as if that weren't enough, the icing on the cake tonight, Winston Smith, co-host Winston Smith of the Political Cesspool, has his top 10 most hateful quotes of 2010. Winston, it's a year in review tonight. What do you have for us?
Well, as you said, James, I have my list of the top 10 most hateful quotes of 2010, and it's a stark contrast to the 2009's most hateful quotes. The 2009 hateful quotes, they were mainly rhetorical. They were mainly just idiotic things said by idiotic people on the idiotic left. There was, I think, one act of violence. One guy, one black guy, had punched a white woman's face because he didn't agree with her on white privilege, and so he punched her in the face. And he said of it that it was an unfortunate event. But the number one most hateful quote of 2009 was from, I think, Newsweek magazine, where people written an article saying it's horrifying to think that that kids would be proud to be white. Well, those were the tame old days, and things have gotten considerably more violent in this last year. So let's just go to the list, and I think you'll notice the differences that I'm talking about. Number 10 most hateful quote of 2010 goes to the staff of Westchester University in Pennsylvania. And a story dated December 2nd, 2010, reported that a flyer had been circulating around the campus of Westchester University in Pennsylvania. The flyer announced the formation of a white student union, but the flyer was a hoax. And to explain the real purpose behind it, spokeswoman Pam Sheridan said, quote, "It wasn't meant to be harmful. It was designed to draw anti-racists together to get a sort of reaction," unquote. Now, James, there are at least two reasons why the university is on the most hateful quotes list. First, they prove that the phrase anti-racist means anti-white. By the way, I know that anti-racist means anti-white because I read Racism and Spacism by James Edwards. Start the new year right by ordering your copy at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org, $19.95 plus shipping and handling.
There it was, ladies and gentlemen, the first shameless self-promotional plug for me from Winston for 2011. We knew we'd get it in.
I get a dollar every time I say that.
Royalties.
Yeah. The second reason why the university is on the list of most hateful quotes is that the university believes that a white student group would be racist. And we know the university believes that because the incident of the flyer was investigated by a department called the Campus Client Intervention Team, which is described as existing to address acts of intolerance or bigotry. So that was number 10, staff of Westchester University in Pennsylvania. Number 9, the Jewish Internet Defense Force. On September 29, 2010, this Jewish supremacist organization gloated by announcing, quote, "The David Duke, or Dr. Duke, YouTube channel has now finally been eliminated. It just goes to show hard work, determination, and patience pay off." Now, my friends, you can say nothing about people who take pride in working to deny American citizens their constitutionally guaranteed right of free speech. And, James, I received there was a message on the a comment on the board regarding the Jewish Internet Defense Force, and somebody asked me to describe it or tell them a little more about it. And as I said, it's a Jewish supremacist organization, and they basically stalk the Internet looking for websites and articles that are critical of Israel. And, of course, they send their Jew trolls all over Wikipedia to edit articles there to make sure everything falls right in line with the Zionist agenda of making Israel into everything that they think it should be, which none of it is. All right, number eight. I know we're running short of time, folks, so I got to hurry. Number eight, anything said or written by the ADL or the SPLC. Now, this is significant because they were number seven in 2009, so they're slacking, so maybe they'll pick it up this year. Replacing the ADL and SPLC is the University of California, San Diego, Chancellor Marianne Fox. On February 26, 2010, a mob of black students at UC San Diego stormed the chancellor's office and demanded more money for black-oriented curriculum and campus activities. The mob was angered by a noose that was placed on a campus library light fixture. Eventually, a student fessed up to placing the noose, and Chancellor Marianne Fox said, quote, "This person admitted her involvement in what we consider to be an abhorrent act," unquote. Furthermore, the university released a statement saying, quote, "Whatever the intent of the authors of this act, it was a despicable expression of racial hatred, and we are outraged. It has no place in civilized society, and it will not be tolerated," unquote. Now, James, I remember on a broadcast of the Political Cesspool, we mused at why the university was withholding the race of the perp. And just a few days after that, my friend, our suspicions were confirmed, and it was a non-white student who had placed the noose. All right, number six. This one's interesting. It's a tie between two public school teachers. And I know you'll remember the YouTube video that surfaced not long ago of that South Central Los Angeles high school history teacher named Ron Gochez, who was at a meeting in which he advocated a violent Mexican revolt against what he called frail white people. And Gochez was proud that the person who had spoken before him was one of his students. And the second teacher is a weasel named Jason Levin. He's a media teacher at Conestoga Middle School in Beaverton, Oregon. And he started a group called Crash the Tea Party. And according to the website, the purpose of the Tea Party is to act on behalf of the Tea Party in ways which exaggerate their least appealing qualities, misspelled protest signs, wild claims in TV interviews, etc. And this guy, Jason Levin, is also quoted as saying that he would, quote, "seek to embarrass Tea Partiers by attending their rallies dressed as Adolf Hitler, carrying signs bearing racist, sexist, and anti-gay epithets, and acting as offensively as possible." So here we have a mestizo who wants to kill his white American political opponents, and we have a Jew who, in word and deed, lies about, slanders, and libels American citizens with whom he disagrees politically. And these are teachers in the American public school. Good example, eh? James, how much time we have left?
You got about 3 minutes, and I don't know how you're going to do it.
All right, well, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to skip to the top three. Number three, of course, how could we have this list without Tim Wise, who on November 3rd, 2010, posted his macabre song of white genocide. Some parts of it were so bizarre that he had to edit them out, but we got them. And here's what he edited out. He said, "We just have to be patient and wait for your hearts to stop beating. And stop they will. And for some of you, real damn soon, truth be told." Number two, Omar Thornton. On August 3rd, 2010, Omar Thornton was summoned by his employer for disciplinary action, and he was given the option of resigning instead of being fired. He was caught stealing from his employer. So he resigned, and on his way out, he pulled out a pair of guns, and he started shooting at a group of about 40 white employees. He killed eight of them and injured two more. And he justified his mass murder by saying, quote, "I just shot me a bunch of racists." And number one, the most hateful quote of 2010 goes to the millions of Africans in America and white people and their accomplices and enablers in the media who believed Omar Thornton when he said that the people he murdered were racist, and they responded with, "They deserved it." And James, on the Political Cesspool website, we post links to some of these comments. And folks, I am not kidding. There were a whole lot of people who were happy with Omar Thornton, and he was hailed as a hero because he killed 8 white people. So there you have it, James, the top 10 most hateful quotes of 2010.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to revisit Winston's compilation of the top 10 most hateful quotes of 2010 in their entirety, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. There in our blog roll, you can revisit Winston's list. You can revisit my list of the top 10 moments of the political cesspool in 2010. You can take a look at our lineup of guests that are forthcoming over the course of the next 4 or 5 weeks. You had David Duke tonight. Next week, you'll be hearing from Sam Dixon and Don Wassel, and the hits just keep on coming after that. Every show is booked up between now and February 5th, and I'm sure you'll find your favorite personality in the America First Movement somewhere there. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of my entire staff, Happy New Year. We'll see you next week. Remember, to live life the way we do without retreat, surrender, or apology. I'm James Edwards. Good night.
Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.